complete dependence upon our Lord, dear friends, for him to open up his holy word of truth to us. I would draw your attention to just the three words spoken by Jesus, as recorded in the chapter we read, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 39. Come and see. Come and see. The verse is that he, Jesus, saith unto them, the two disciples of John, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Come and see. Dear friends, these are very gracious words of Jesus, calling two seeking souls unto himself. Come and see. They're gracious words of power. For he says, doesn't he, later on, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast out. Now is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Oh, to hear his voice. Come and see. To know him in the fullness of his mercy and his power. When we consider these two disciples of John, Andrew and another one, who many say it was John here himself, who was a cousin of Andrew. They were disciples of John the Baptist. How they came to be disciples of John the Baptist, we are not told. But they were drawn to the preaching of John the Baptist concerning the one who was to come. He was to prepare the people for the coming of Christ. And they heard the testimony of John concerning Jesus. And here we read, there came that time when John saw Jesus walking before them, and saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. John the Baptist saw Jesus as the eternal Son of God, the one who would come. He was before me. We know that in the flesh, John was born before Jesus. But Jesus was not just of this earth, although born of a woman. He was the Son of God from eternity past. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Oh, the fullness of the Godhead was in him. And John, led by the Holy Spirit to preach concerning his coming, John said, I baptize with water, but upon him who is coming, he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth. that which draws a soul to look unto Jesus, the Lamb of God. Oh, what a title. The Lamb of God. Now we know that in the law and in the Jewish dispensation, lambs were used for sacrifice. Lambs without blemish, without spot, normally of the first year. And they were brought as an offering. An offering for the sins of those people who brought them to the priests as an offering for their sin, that it be so that before God, as if their sins were laid upon the Lamb, and the Lamb was slain as if he was the sinner. Now that was, as the Jew, as Paul says to the Hebrews, for the cleansing of the flesh. That was for the cleansing of the outward deed under the law. But those lambs under the law, they were not able, through the offering of one's own self of that lamb, to cleanse the soul. The heart was still guilty. The soul was still sick in sin. There was no saving power in those sacrifices. But behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We're all born, aren't we, with the sin of the world within us. Everyone has been since Adam. It has its power within us in different degrees. We're all different in our characters and desires, earthly desires, and what we are compelled and do, and how we do things. But we're all sinners. And we cannot remove the power of sin from our own selves. And the power of sin, dear friends, will be subject to the power of God in that last day, if we die without it being overcome. Or the power of God will dismiss all those that are guilty of their many sins into outer darkness, into that lake of fire. Oh, John the Baptist spoke of fire, didn't he? One wonders what effect it had upon his disciples. But what an effect this ministry had upon them here. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Andrew and this other disciple heard John. It was the second time they'd heard him. They heard him first when Jesus came, passing by. But it seems it had no compelling effect upon them. It perhaps began to have some effect upon their minds, upon their hearts. But when Jesus came by the second day, and they heard it the second time, dear friends, it had a drawing power, a compelling power. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And it was in the influence of the power of the Spirit of God upon them that this is something that they needed. Something which was beyond that of the law of the Jews, given to them by Moses from God. They needed to be delivered from their sins. Looking upon Jesus as he walked, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. They became seeking souls. They needed to know this Lamb of God. They needed to know the forgiveness of their sins. Dear friends, this compelling power. What's the source of it? It's the love of God. Oh, as Jeremiah wrote, as God spoke to him, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Dear friends, there may be other disciples of John at that time. And we read how John taught them to pray. But when the word comes in power and of the Holy Ghost, dear friends, there's a gracious effect that compels one to leave just, as we might say, the head knowledge of the truth, and puts within that heart that compelling power to seek and hope to find the salvation of their soul. They followed Jesus, seeking him. And Jesus turned and saw them. You know, dear friends, where there's a seeking soul, the Lord does not let them to seek in vain. They sought to know more of this truth concerning the Lamb of God. And they said, "Where dwellest thou? Where dwellest thou?" And Jesus said unto them, "Come. Come and see." Oh, I will in no wise cast out. No man cometh unto me, he says, except the Father draw them. Oh, these were two whom the Father had given unto Christ, chosen in Christ in eternity past. And their life upon earth was predestinated to be called into the knowledge, yes, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, what we read of here in these accounts, oh, is so wondrously to be known today. This call by grace, this compelling power to look unto Jesus. Where dwellest thou? Well, in the natural aspects of this, they came to be with Jesus for the remainder of that day. It was about the 10th hour, which means it was in the afternoon, the latish afternoon. But where Jesus was physically, we're not told. But they spent the rest of the day with him. And no doubt Jesus spoke unto them concerning himself as the Lamb of God. Oh, dear friends, what a turn there is of this word, of their desire, their prayerful desire. Where dwellest thou? They came away knowing the Lamb of God dwelt within their heart. They came confessing. Oh, this is the Messiah. This is the one who has been promised from the beginning. This is the Saviour of sinners. This is the Redeemer. This is the one who shall save us from our sins. Where dwellest thou? Oh, they came testifying that they knew this truth within their heart. You know, dear friends, that's something which is vital for us to know, isn't it? This love of Christ, this redeeming love, this sacrifice for sins, that is alone through Jesus Christ, who poured out his soul unto death, bearing the sins of many. We don't have to offer him. He offered himself. He was the glorious high priest who offered his own self as a lamb, without blemish and without spot. that all those whom the Father had given him should be redeemed. Not with silver and gold, as under the law for those who had to be redeemed from their captors, but with his own blood. The price demanded by the law for the payment of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Dear friends, these sacred truths fulfilled in Jesus, through Jesus, and revealed in the hearts of those that seek him. Dear friends, do we know what it is to have this one desire, above all other desires, to know the dwelling of the Lord Jesus? Not just in heaven as he is now, which we can say we believe in our heads, but to dwell in our hearts. Dwell therefore in our hearts was the prayer, wasn't it, of the hymn writer? From condemnation free, we in him and he in us. Oh dear friends, I trust this is what you long to know and long to be confirmed in. Blotting out all your doubts and all your fears. We don't know the length of our days, do we? We don't know how many hours we have left here upon this earth. We know the end will come. We've had in the past, at times of our life, knowledge of so many called from time to eternity, even some in young days, some who've only lived perhaps a few hours, some who have lived many years. Oh, Methuselah lived 969 years, was it? And he died. Oh, there's no escape from that which is to come. And after death, the judgment. All this great need. Behold the Lamb of God. And what a truth that is. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Whether they die a few hours old or whether they die hundreds of years old. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And to live with him in heaven in glory forevermore. Now, dear friends, each of us here, we've been born. A time to be born is a time to die. And in between these two major, as I call them, events of earthly life, and there's this one thing needful. To know our Jesus, the Lamb of God. A sacrifice for our sins. You know, I wonder if sometimes we come, as we often do, as we have done perhaps most of our lives, to the time of worship, as we are now this morning, and we hear the truth as it is in Jesus, again and again and again. Perhaps Andrew and the other disciple of John the Baptist, perhaps they'd heard John speak very much, again and again, the things which he'd come to declare concerning the one who was to come after him. But it never had any gracious effect until a specific time came. Perhaps each of us, many of us, can testify of that. We've been to the house of God. We've heard the truth as it is in Jesus read, and we've heard it preached, and we've perhaps acknowledged in our heads and in our minds that, oh, this is the truth. And we're in a good place, like the disciples of John the Baptist were in a good place. But there's nothing further than that. There's no abiding of the sacred truth of Christ revealed in the heart. Oh, dear friends, may the Holy Spirit come. That's what we need, isn't it? the Holy Spirit, that the gospel concerning the Lamb of God is not in word only, but is in the power of the Holy Ghost, as it was to Andrew and this other disciple. Dear friends, it may be with some of you that you are a seeking soul. These things which you've heard proclaimed, preached, may become your longing desire to know the blessedness of the truth of them. Well, dear friends, the fulfillment of them is the coming and seeing. Come and see. Oh, there's so much to hinder us, isn't there? So much to hinder us in our submission at the feet, the footstool of mercy. But I was drawn to that chapter 55 of Isaiah. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come ye that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What a gospel invitation this is. Ho, every one that thirsteth. Now, many of us know, all of us know what it is, I'm sure, to be thirsty. And we can satisfy our thirst upon this earth very easily with the water that we have in our homes and wherever we go. But there are those who are thirsty and they can't find any water. They live in lands which are barren and dry. It was so with Israel, wasn't it, when they were journeying in the wilderness. They were thirsty. And the one thing that was needful was that water, that living water, so that they could be maintained in life. Oh, everyone that thirsteth. You know, dear friends, if we're alive, we're thirsty. If we're never thirsty, we've got no life in us, have we? We're dead. And thirstiness is a sign of life. Oh, when we think of the spiritual thirst to know the pardon of our sins, to know our Jesus, of whom the gospel speaks, the Lamb of God, for sinners slain, who came to save his people from their sins. We are given that thirst to know the sacred truth of it for the life of our soul. Then, dear friends, there's been the quickening power, hasn't there? You're alive to receive this thirst. And this thirst draws you to where you can obtain that living water, the sacred truth of Christ for your soul. It's the one thing needful, isn't it? To one who is longing to satisfy their thirst. And it's what they seek for, they cry for, they cry out for it. And dear friends, they have the lovely words, don't they, in Scripture. Oh, they that seek such, seek Christ as such, they shall find him. Look unto Jesus, all ye ends of the earth, and ye shall be saved. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. What is this spiritual money? Is it not our own righteousnesses? Is it not our own obedience to the law? It's not the right value, it's not the right money. We cannot save our souls through that which we do and that which we speak. We are sinners. Sin is mixed with all we do. Oh, we need something far greater than that. We need the right currency. Come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. We don't come with our own goodness and our own righteousnesses, like the Pharisees did. No, it has to exceed that. We come humbly. Nothing in our hand we bring. Simply to thy cross we cling. And we sung that hymn this morning. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. We come prayerfully, pleading, oh, that shed blood of Christ that atones for sin, to be applied to our own souls by the Holy Spirit. Oh, it's a vital prayer, isn't it? Come, Holy Spirit, come. Oh, yes, let bright beams arise, dispel the darkness, the unbelief, all that hinders us from our minds, open all our eyes, that we may seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All other things then, the scripture says, shall be added unto us. Yea, come, buy wine, milk, without money, without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? Your labour for that which satisfieth not. Yes, we are to live uprightly. We are to seek to obey the word of God, of course. But it won't buy our soul's salvation. It won't pay the price to deliver us from the wrath of God. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that truth is as it is in Jesus, the Lamb of God. Not the truth that we are more righteous in our outward walk than others. That won't bring us to heaven at last, will it? That won't deliver us from the wrath of God. Not one of our righteousnesses will remove one of our sins. Isaiah says, incline, or the Lord through Isaiah says, incline your ear and come unto me. Come unto me. Come and see. Come, confessing your sin. Come, pouring out your heart before him. Where dwellest thou? Well, the Lord dwells in heaven, yes, but he dwells still upon this earth. He's ever with his people. He's not far from us. Oh, Paul spoke that to the people at Athens, didn't he? In him we live and move and have our very being. He is not far from any of us. And he can be found. Oh, David says, all those that are godly, oh, they will cry unto the Lord for the forgiveness of their sins when he may be found. And dear friends, is to be found. When? You've exercised in your heart by the Holy Spirit to hunger and thirst for his righteousness. If any of you like that this morning, oh, submit yourselves unto him, crying unto him for his mercy. Yes, like that publican, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He hears such cries. Oh, you know, our hearts within us by nature, they don't like us to be submissive, do they? They like us to have some quality, some ability, something of our own self which is acceptable to God. Dear friends, there's only one thing acceptable to God. That's the travail of the soul of his Son, who has given himself a life, his life for sin, paid the price, that sinners may be redeemed. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. And there's this glorious promise, isn't there? Come unto me here and your soul shall live. Come and see. Oh, don't hold back. Don't say, I am too great a sinner. Don't say, oh, I fear I shall never receive of the fullness of the assurance of the mercy of God to my soul. Oh, dear friend, Satan will hinder you. He'll do many things to say, oh, this isn't for you. He hates to lose any that are his. But the Lord's word is in power. He knoweth them that are his. He's given you that exercise of your heart. Then, dear friends, don't delay. If we stay away, we shall die. Come, confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Come unto me, come and hear, come and see. Oh, come and testify that this is the truth. Not just leave it in your head. Oh, come that it might be revealed in your heart. The love of God revealed in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That love of God who gave his only begotten Son. And your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Now, dear friends, there's something to answer Satan there, isn't there? The sure mercies of David. Wasn't David a great sinner? With his adultery. With his murder. You haven't gone that depth, I trust you haven't. But you may have done in your heart, but not outwardly. But there was mercy for David, because he was drawn to confess those sins. He was drawn. He was hungry and thirsty for the Lord's righteousness. Oh, we confess, great is mine iniquity. Oh, blot out my transgressions. Love me freely. Dear friends, he heard the voice of the Lord, didn't he? Thou, I have put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. That's the knowledge, isn't it, what we all need. Come and see. Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, abode with him that day, all to be one with Jesus. Dear friends, we don't come physically to Jesus, but we come to his holy word. He is the word. And the truth as it is in Jesus and all the promises, dear friends, are contained here in this sacred book. Come and see. Oh, don't neglect the reading of the word. When you're exercised regarding, this forgiveness of your sins, to know the Lamb of God. Oh, dear friends, do meditate upon the word. Don't turn to other things, other books, other pamphlets, or whatever there may be. Dear friends, may the Lord draw you to his holy word. And the power of the Spirit, rest upon it. And compel you to pour out your heart before him. The Lord hears those prayers and grants his blessing. The blessing of the sure mercies of David. I love thee well, my child. Oh, there is no sin now in thee to blot out that hope of eternal life. It has all been laid upon the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and he's borne it away. He has served with thy sin. And thy sin shall be remembered no more. Come and see. Well, dear friends, may the Holy Spirit grant you, to be made willing in the day of his power, to bring to such prayerful desires, to receive the blessing of the Lord. Come and see. Now, we have these words again in this chapter. Now, the words of Philip to Nathanael. Nathanael said unto Philip, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Now, dear friends, when one has been blessed by the Lord, as Philip was, Philip heard the word directly from Jesus, Follow me. And that word of power entered his heart, as it did with Matthew later on, Follow me. Oh, to follow the Lord, we need his word to be in power, don't we? are compelling. And then, dear friends, where it is, there's a testimony of it. Andrew testified unto Peter. Philip testified unto Nathanael. The testimony of Andrew to Peter, or Simon, shall we say, drew him to Jesus. Jesus knew who Peter was. He knew his character. He was one who would come, and he would be blessed. Oh, dear friends, through the testimony of others, may the Lord use it for the exercise of our souls, and even be used of the Lord to come and see that which has been found by one can be found in your own heart. Now, you may be like Nathanael. Nathanael was a godly man. He was a pious man. He was studying the scriptures. He was a praying man. Apparently, the fig trees in those days was often used as a place of quietness and shelter, where one could separate themselves under the leaves, the boughs of those trees. Some of them grew very big. And there in quietness they could read the scriptures and pray unto God. Now Nathanael was one who knew the scriptures. And he had in his own mind his interpretation of how the prophecies would be fulfilled. How the coming of the promise of the Redeemer of Israel would come. Now then came the testimony to him of Philip. Philip was of Bethsaida. He said to Nathanael, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did speak, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now that was different to what Nathanael could say. That wasn't what he had read or heard in the scriptures. This was different in his own mind, and therefore he doubted the truth of what Philip had said. And you know, dear friends, it can be like that with us, can't it? We can perhaps hear the testimony of someone who has found grace in the eyes of the Lord and of the Lord's mercy to their soul, and called them out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light. And when you hear or read or whatever it is of that testimony, you say, "Oh, well, I don't know as that I can go along with that. I don't know as I can go along with that." Well, dear friends, in the detail of everyone's experience, they may be different. Things may not be work out as you would expect them to work out in your own minds. But come and see, says Nathanael to, said Philip to Nathanael, come and see. And Nathanael was constrained, in spite of his doubts, in spite of his fears. And when Nathanael came to Jesus, Jesus spoke to him. "Oh, when I saw thee, before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Oh, the words of the Lord Jesus. Dear friends, that breaks down all the barriers. You don't start questioning other people's experience now. No, it's what you've received yourself, in the way you've received it yourself. Why? Under the fig tree? How did he know I was under the fig tree? I saw thee, reading the word of God. I saw thee in prayer. I was mindful of thee. Then, friends, this was a word in power, wasn't it, to Nathanael? Oh, how his heart was changed. The voice of God. Mercy to his soul. "Oh, thou art the Son of God," he says. "Thou art the King of Israel. Thou art the Redeemer." Oh, dear friends, the truth is as the word is spoken, isn't it, by the Lord unto a needy soul. An unbelieving soul, a doubting soul. All the differences then are banished away. There's no reasoning of mind. It's as the truth is received in Jesus. Well, the exhortation, come and see, come and see. Jesus' invitation was, come, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Dear friends, if we're labouring and heavy laden under the bells of our sin, and we're trying to put matters our right, we're carrying it ourselves, aren't we? We're trying to put matters right ourselves. We're trying to improve the satisfaction of our soul and our spiritual being ourselves. We shall never shall. Come unto me. Oh, come and see the truth as it is in Jesus. Casting all things upon him. Confessing those sins. Casting all your care upon him. For dear friends, we shall never lose the need of these words, come and see. For when we're in life's pathway, as we are now upon this earth, believing in Jesus, having known that salvation of our soul, oh, the troubles, the difficulties, the tribulations, the sorrows, we still have to pass through that. But oh, those precious promises. The promises of Jesus, I will never leave thee. Lo, I'm with thee always, even unto the end of the world. Come and see. Oh, commit it unto him in prayer. Come unto that throne of grace in the name of Jesus. Come and see that power, oh, to deliver you, that you may glorify him more. Come and, in those prayers, to obtain that mercy and grace to help in the time of your need. That'll cause you to grow in his grace, won't it? Preparation for heaven above. Come and see. How dare we stay away? How dare we have no interest in these truths? Oh, dear friends, don't be complacent. Don't say, as Satan may suggest, it's not for me. Oh, I am content as I am. This side of the knowledge of the fullness of the blessing. Plead with him for pardon. Who can need it more than we? Oh, the Lord had his blessing and apply his word. Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. Dear friend, whatever the stage of our lives, the early hours, the first hour, the third hour, the 10th hour, or before night comes, and the days of our earthly life finish. Oh, to come and see what a Saviour the Lord Jesus is, the Saviour of sinners, to hear his voice. Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, I will give ye rest. I will abide with thee in thy heart forevermore.